This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa salatu wa salamu ala al-ma'uth wa rahmatin lil alameen. Nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim ma ba'd. اليوم الرابع من شهر رجب 1445 الموافق ل 16 من شهر جانوري 2020 نواصل في هذا الكتاب المبارك رياض الصالحين. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين. So, bi-idhnillahi azza wa jalla, we continue from where we stopped last dars. And I do believe we talk about the ayat that the mu'allif quoted to support the title of wasiyah, and also the way to say farewell to the people who remain in place, either when a person is leaving this life or leaving a place to another place. So after that, as usual, he will start with the Quran and then the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the first hadith here mentioned by Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah is the hadith of Zayd ibn Arqam. Zayd ibn Arqam, you know, he mentioned this hadith, الذي سيق في باب إكرام أهل بيت رسول الله sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This initially is mentioned, you know, under the topic of respecting and being so kind to the family members of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yeah, they deserve our kindness, they deserve our, you know, gentleness and softness and also good behavior towards them. You know, the family members of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and whoever is connected to them deserves this. This is the right of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the ummah, you know, that remains after him. That we should respect the family members of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The question is, do they still exist, the family members of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Because we still have in many places, there are the ashraf, you know, who are known to be claiming to trace their lineage to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yeah, so a person has to be very careful. It is true that they do exist and they will remain until the day of judgment. Until the day of judgment. Imam al-Mahdi, which is the first sign, major sign of the day of judgment, is from the family members of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You get it? He's from the family members of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, min nasabi Fatima radiallahu anha. So, and his name is Muhammad ibn Abdullah. So they still exist. They still exist, but now unfortunately it becomes business. Yeah, business, because I know if I tell you that I am from the family members of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then khalas, we'll get the highest status in the Muslim community. Everyone is going to respect, everyone is going to support, everyone is going to give charity, and so many things will be given to us, a lot of privileges. And these people, they might be making a mistake, you know, believing that the community will not say anything, because the community believes that they are coming from the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why you find some of them, they are very wrongdoers, you know, really wrongdoers. Why are they doing this? Because they think the community usually keeps quiet. And this, if their claim is true, that they are really from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what they are doing is very evil. It's actually worse than the sins that are coming from the normal person. Yeah, that's why the authority, if they see these type of people going against the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they should punish them more than the way they punish other people, because they are tarnishing the image of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you're from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you have to imitate him. Otherwise, what is the point of a person being from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he is destroying the image of that family? So being a family member of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam means nothing except if a person is doing that which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prescribed for them. Abu Lahab, he was very close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he did not accept him. He lost he went to help. Abu Talib did not accept Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He went to help. So as simple as this, even the Muslims amongst them, they have to do the right thing. Yeah, that's what being a family member of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam means. However, for us, we have to be very careful, right? Yeah, because in some communities, they don't marry from anyone. They select who they marry from, and nobody can come and marry from them. You know, they are the highest people in the community, you know. They are so infallible, you know, so pure and clean for them to come down to the community and to be mixed with others. This is not the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is not the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yeah, if we go in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, somebody married from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu al-As, and he's not like Ali bin Abi Talib. Uthman married from the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's not like Ali bin Abi Talib. Ali bin Abi Talib is somehow related to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was a cousin of Rasulullah. So we can understand, you know, this to take place, you know. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tell us that this is not supposed to be applicable in this way. That's why he gave Uthman his daughter. He gave Abu al-As his daughter also. And also we see the tazawaj between Banu Hashim and others. You know, Usama ibn Zayd, his father, was his father, Zayd ibn Haritha. Zayd ibn Haritha was married to Zainab. Zainab bint Jahsh, al-Hashmiya. She's from Banu Hashim. Very close relative to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But she was married to this person who is originally a slave. To tell you that kafa'a in Islam, kafa'a, what is kafa'a? Compatibility in marriage. It is only in one thing, which is the deed. Does it. Language doesn't have impact here. Business doesn't have impact here. Color, you know, races, country, you know, Islam doesn't pay attention to any of these. The kafa is based on the deed and righteousness. That's it. And that's why some people will come and tell you, no, if you marry from another race, you're going to face a lot of problems, you know. I'm pretty sure you guys heard all of these claims. If you were to marry from other race, you're going to face a lot of problems. Question. Those who are married from the same race, do they face problem in their marriage? And actually, if you go through the right analysis, they face more problems than when you marry from other race. That's the reality. You know? That's the reality. That's why when we stay away from that which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us, we're going to end up having a lot of problems. Yeah, this one has problem, that one has problem. But check properly and see what is the root cause of that problem. Probably, my dear brothers and sisters, it is simply because they did not do what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised them to do when they're looking for the partner. If they do, inshallah, they will never be in trouble. Their affair will end with success, inshallah, azza wa jalla. So, Zayd ibn Arqam, he narrated this hadith, which is placed in the chapter of Ikramu Ahli Bayt al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, respecting the family members of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Qala qama Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fina khatiban. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up one day among us as khatib. Khatib means giving us a khutbah or giving us a lecture. Khatiban fahamid Allah wa athna alayhi wa wa'adha wa dhakara. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praised Allah, you know, inna alhamdulillah wa nahmadu wa nasta'inuhu wa athna alayhi, you know, he praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inna alhamdulillah wa nahmadu wa nasta'inuhu wa nasta'firuhu, until the end of that khutbah that we know. Wa wa'adha, and he admonished the people. وذكر, and he reminded the people. ثم قال, and then he said, أما بعد. He said, to begin my speech, I will start with this most important thing. He says, ألا أيها الناس. He says, people. إنما أنا بشر يوشك أن يأتي رسول ربي فأجيب. سبحان الله. He says, people, I'm a bashar. Bashar means human beings, right? A human being. And in many places, the Prophet said he's a human being. I don't know whether we're having different readings here, because there are some people in this life of ours who believe that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is not a human being. Allah says he is Bashar. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said he is Bashar. And somebody will come and say, no, he is not. And if you go through the silsila, subhanAllah, you'll understand why somebody is introducing that idea to them. So we have to be very careful. Clearly, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, innama ana Bashar. You're going to say, you want to say special Bashar? Yes, that's true. That's absolutely the correct way to say it. Special Bashar. But he is human being. Human beings are not the same. This is the most special human being that we ever have. And you will never have somebody like him. But he is human being. That's why he forgets. He remembers. He eats. He uses the bathroom. He told us about all of these. That's why he says, innama ana Bashar. Ansa kama tansaw. He said, I forget just like the way you are forgetting. He says, innama ana Bashar. He says, I'm a human being. He says, wa innakum takhtasimuna ilayya. You guys will come to me with your cases. You want me to decide, to judge between you guys. He says, la'alla ba'adhakum alhana bihujjatihi min ba'd. He says, sometimes some of you is more eloquent in terms of speech. You know, it brings lawyers. You know, some of them, when they come to the court, they bring how many lawyers? In one of the cases I watched, 60 lawyers. I was like, What is that, you know? We're trying to see whether one is permissible, you know, but 60 lawyers, you know. You can understand what is going on, because somebody who has the truth with him usually will not go for this. Will fight for himself. If he cannot, then he brings one or two to help him. But 60 lawyers, you know? Or even more than that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَعَلَّ بَعْضَكُمْ يَكُونُ أَلْحَنَ بِحُجَّتِهِ مِنْ بَعْضٍ. Some of you might be more eloquent, stronger in terms of speech than the other one. And at the same time, he will be speaking in the wrong way, trying to establish the case for him. He said, the Prophet ﷺ said, since I don't know the ghaib, I don't know what is behind. Yeah, I don't know the ghaib. Because if Rasulullah ﷺ knows the ghaib, there will be no case here. The majority and yatu ilayh, you know, the moment they come to him, the Prophet ﷺ will tell them, you are wrong. Go give him his thing. But Allah wants the system to function in the normal way. Yeah, because if it is going to be like that, then how can a judge learn from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Do you get the idea? Because if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam died, the judges are not like him. They don't know what he knows. And issue is not going to be, proper. You know. Things will be in a state of chaos. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has to keep it in the normal way so that people can learn from him. So he says, فَأَقْضِيَ لَهُ بِحَقِّ أَخِي. Because of his way of speaking, I'm going to decide the case for him. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said he should know if this thing doesn't belong to him, إِنَّمَا هِيَ قِطْعَةٌ مِنَ النَّارِ. He is eating nothing except a portion of hell in his stomach. فَلْيَأْخُذْهَا أَوْ يَتْرُكْهَا. Let him take it or leave it. Subhanallah. In other words, the case is not over here, you know. Iwallah, this is how it is up to date. That's why being a judge is one of the worst decisions somebody will make for himself. Yeah, shouldn't go for it. There has to be a judge in the ummah. There must be a judge, but you shouldn't go voluntarily look for it. How many people you are going to send to jail out of fake evidence, you know? Although your side, if you're not doing that intentionally, you just use the evidence that appears to you, your side is okay. But imagine on the day of judgment, all of these guys are going to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Allah to take the right from you and the one that you gave the right. Even to be questioned on the day of judgment about these things, it's going to be very annoying. How about the people who will lose their life because of your decision, your word? Yeah, because the authority are going to base the execution of whatever you said on your statement. The Prophet ﷺ said, فَلْيَأْخُذْهَا أَوْ لِيَتْرُكَهَا. So all of these evidences, they are confirming to us that Rasulullah ﷺ is one of us. It's not from the angels, it's not from the jinns, it's not from any other things, he is one of us. We know his father, we know his mother, we know his lineage, The scholars mention it up to even Adam, although that one is shaky, but at least up to Adnan or Ibrahim, this one you can have some, inshallah, acceptance to it. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, innama ana basharun, he says, I am a human being. Yushiku an ya'tiya rasulu rabbi fa'ujib. He says, perhaps you might witness very soon the time when the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come to me, and then I will reply and respond to his call. Who is this messenger? The angel of death, subhanAllah. He says, you might receive, you know, a news that the angel of death comes to me and asks me to go. Your time is up, and I'm going to say yes. And subhanAllah, they saw that, you know, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the angel of death came to him and gave him a choice. You willing to go or you want to stay? Like any other prophet, they were given a choice to choose to stay or to go. I don't know any one of them who choose to stay. Yeah, even Musa alayhi salam, they not choose to stay. And first, the angel of death did not come in the right way. The second time when he comes, he says, Allah says, if you want to stay and live longer, if you want to live longer, then go on, get a cow and put your hand on a cow, whatever you cover of a hair, you know, by your hand, we give you a year with any piece of hair that you cover. That's mean he's going to live, you know, hundreds of years. And then he asked the angel of death, after all of these ages that I'm going to live, what next? He says, death. Walabud. He says, if this is the case, I want it right now. So the Prophet ﷺ was given that choice to choose to stay or to go. The Prophet ﷺ chose to be with the Rafiqul A'la. And after that, he got sick, which led to his demise. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Qala yushiku an ya'tiya rasulu rabbi fa'ujiba. Wa ana tarikum fikum. Wa ana tarikum fikum shay'ay. Thaqalayn. He says, I am going to leave behind you two things, two heavy things, or two things. He says, I'm going to leave behind me two things for you. أَوَّلُهُمَا كِتَابُ اللَّهِ. So that's the wasiyah, right? This hadith is based under the topic of the wasiyah. He said, I'm going to leave two things with you guys. Since I'm about to receive the message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that invitation when it comes, I just have to say yes. So I will be leaving for you as my wasiyah two things. قَالَ أَوَّلُهُمَا كِتَابُ اللَّهِ. The first one is the book of Allah, which you find in it guidance and light. Allahu Akbar. He says, Kitabullah, which you find guidance and light. Yeah? You see, there are some people, you know, don't forget, not some scholars, some people who believe that knowledge cannot be taken except from the family members of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They said, any knowledge that you take from others is fake. And subhanAllah, nobody amongst the family members of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ever claimed this. None. Starting from the one they think he is even Allah, sometimes they call him Allah, Ali ibn Abi Talib. Waliyadhu billah. That's why he burned them. Ali ibn Abi Talib, somebody asked him, Hal khassakum Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam bi shay'in? He said, did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ever give you something which he did not share with others? Qala la. He said, no. Very straightforward, he said, no. However, they don't trust this because it doesn't suit their interests. But Ali ibn Abi Talib said, no. He never gave us something which is not given to others. Aisha says, whoever tells you that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hid something which he did not share with others, this person is a big liar. She said, this person is a big liar. If Rasulullah is to hide something, he will definitely hide the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَاتَّقِ اللَّهِ وَتُخْفِي فِي نَفْسِكَ مَاللَّهُ مُبْدِيهِ وَتَخْشَ النَّاسَ وَاللَّهُ أَحَقُّ أَن تَخْشَى. You know, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam perceived that Allah is going to command him to marry Zainab bint Jahsh, the wife of Zayd bin Haritha, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam perceived that this marriage would never continue. And at the end of the day, he will be commanded to marry So he used to tell Zaid, please keep your wife. Please be patient, please patient. Why? Because Zaid ibn Haritha used to be called Zaid ibn Muhammad because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam adopted him. The community sees him as his son, the son of Rasulullah. If Rasulullah married his wife after he divorced her, his ex-wife, right? People are going to say, oh, he married the wife of his son. And Allah wants to destroy this belief that says your adopted child is like your biological child. And also you cannot marry the woman that he divorced. Allah wants to destroy this. And he made the best example is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because if somebody else does it and Allah approve it, it will not have that impact in the way if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be the one who will do, because everyone will know what he does. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very silent, nervous of talking about this, doesn't know what the community will say. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls that this marriage will not continue. Zaid ibn Haritha divorced based on the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was informed by Allah, hiya zawjatuk, she's your wife. Subhanallah, case closed. And when we go and bring the wali and the witnesses and the mahar and all of these things, who are we trying to please? Allah Rabbul Alameen, right? To make it legal according to the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that Allah will be pleased with us. Correct? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his marriage to Zainab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, he is zawjatuk, she is your wife. That's the most legal marriage, you know. Because the one that we want him to accept, the way we do it, according to the Sharia, is Allah Rabbul Alameen. And now he tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Zainab, zawjatuk, she is your wife. That's why she used to be proud of this against the other wives. And who is the one who gave you to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Your parent. But me, the one who gave me to Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is Allah Rabbul Alameen. Nobody can fight her for this, you know. Because who can get this martaba? Nobody. That your marriage, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recognizes, not just recognition, but Allah told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she's your wife. Case closed. So Aisha said, if there is anything to be, you know, hidden by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it should be this ayah that tells him, ittaqillah, fear Allah. Allah is telling him, fear Allah. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited in the prayers, Rasulullah recited to everyone, until the day of judgment, we are reciting it. He never hid that one. Aisha said, this is more than enough for you to know that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not hide any message. And this is very important for us, because up to date, you still have some people who think they got new message from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wallahi, be very careful. Very careful. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I am leaving behind me for you Kitabullah fihi al-huda wal-nur. So what I want you to understand is, he says Kitabullah and guidance and light exist in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says fihi al-huda wal-nur. He says fakhudhu bi kitabillah wasamsiku bihi. He says hold upon the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and hold it very firmly. You know, make it your behavior, your attitude, your life, you know, practice the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in everything you do. So we see he says what? The book of Allah, he left two things. Kitabullah, that's number one. And he tells us how to make use of it and how to apply it. He said, this is the one that contains your guidance. This is the one that contains the light that shows you the path and the way to follow and the way to do things in the correct way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. And he says, therefore, hold upon it very firmly. Don't compromise any part of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَالَ فَحَثَّ عَلَى كِتَابِ اللَّهِ وَرَغَبُ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recommend and motivate people to hold upon the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala firmly and the sunnah. Yeah, because this is the only way we can survive. Ewa Allah. Nowadays you see us getting into trouble. Every day the ummah is going down, not progressing in the way they should be doing. Why? Because we neglected the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unfortunately, those among us who are taking the book of Allah, they take it according to their interpretation.
Yeah, not according to what Allah SWT wants us to do. So in other words, both of them are not taking the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the one who reject it and the one who take it but according to his own interpretation, they're both rejected. Because Allah did not ask us to do that interpretation. قَالَ فَحَثَّ عَلَىٰ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ وَرَقَّبَ فِيهِ ثُمَّ قَالَ وَأَهْلُ بَيْتِي أُذَكِّرُكُمُ اللَّهُ فِي أَهْلِ بَيْتِي. And then he says, and my family members, my relatives. He says, I remind you about the right of my family. I remind you about the right of my family. And I remind you, you know, by Allah, you have to be very careful and take care of the right of my family. So that means two things are given to us, not like what those guys are saying, that the knowledge is only taken from the family members of Rasulullah. He never said that. They even make hadith. They fabricated this hadith by themselves. Aliyun madinat al, ana madinatul ilm wa aliyun babuha. I'm the city of knowledge and Ali is the gate. These hadiths, the moment you hear them, you know that, yeah, somebody who is just sitting down in his house who doesn't fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala making this hadith. They have another one also, Aliyun khairul bashar. This one, I don't think you need any scholar to tell you whether this hadith is fabricated or not. Aliyun khairul bashar, man shakka fihi faqad kafar. Ali is the best amongst the human being. Whoever has doubt in this, he is a kafir. Do you need somebody to tell you that this hadith is fabricated? So knowledge is taken from anyone who qualifies. That's why in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we do have Ahlul Ilm. The knowledge is taken from them when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is absent. After the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we do have Ahlul Ilm. Abdullah ibn Abbas used to go and study from Zayd ibn Thabit, used to go and study from the rest of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he is amongst the family members of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People used to take knowledge from Aisha, Abu Bakr, Umar, you know, Ali ibn Abi Talib. This is how it was until the time this enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came, Abdullah ibn Saba al-Yahudi, and invented this issue of exaggerating in the love of the family members of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and giving them in some circumstances the divinity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was the first person who brought this issue because he knows this is when the atifa exists. Emotions is there. Once you talk about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his family members, and you tell people that these people are oppressed by others, you know, Abu Bakr oppressed them when he took the khilafah, Umar oppressed them. You know, they even mentioned that Umar broke the shoulder of Fatima radiallahu anha. Wallahi, I don't know who is pumping these people with this shaitan. Umar breaking the hand of Fatima radiallahu anha. I don't know who is pumping them with this type of stupid and useless things, you know. Which I believe if Fatima is to hear this, she will be the first person to fight them. So you have to understand the agenda behind this. As Imam Malik said, the issue was that this man introduced this aqidah to destroy the image of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But he knows that if he talks against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam directly, the community will fight him. So they started with that way. Yeah, because that one will be accepted. They will say the companions are bad, Aisha is bad, you know, they will say this and that, which directly it is directed to them, but indirectly is to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide them. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said he is leaving with us two things, the book of Allah and that in some narration he says kitabullahi wa sunnati, the book of Allah and my sunnah. The book of Allah and my sunnah. In this narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the book of Allah, and you also have to preserve the right of my family members. قَالَ وَأَنَا أَبِي سُلَيْمَانَ مَالِكِ بِنِ الْحُوَيْرِثِ قَالَ أَتَيْنَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ sallallahu alaihi wasallam وَنَحْنُ شَبَبَهُ مُتَقَارِبُونَ فَأَقَمْنَا عِنْدَهُ 20 ليلة وكان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رفيقا وظن أننا قد اشتقنا أهلنا فسألنا عمن تركنا من أهلنا فأخبرناه فقال ارجعوا إلى أهليكم فقال ارجعوا إلى أهليكم قال فسألنا عمن تركنا من أهلنا فأخبرناه فقال ارجعوا إلى أهليكم فأقيموا فيهم وعلموهم ومروهم وصلوا صلاة كذا حين كذا وصلوا كذا حين كذا في حين كذا فإذا حضرت الصلاة فليؤذن لكم أحدكم وليؤمكم أكبركم متفق عليه وزاد البخاري في رواية له وصلوا كما رأيتموني أصلي مالك بن الحويرث رضي الله عنه one of the young companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who visited Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina in the last part of his life they lived with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said we came ونحن شباب متقارب some scholars said they were actually two and according to this narration they are more than two you know shabab young people subhanallah you see this is what the young people should be all about but unfortunately nowadays the social media has taken the brain and the attention in the past they're very serious actually the most serious people in terms of you know promoting the religion you know the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam they're the younger ones yeah look at the battle of Badr look at almost all the battles actually you see that younger people they contributed more than the old ones yeah they cooperated both of them you know with the wisdom of the old people with the enthusiasm of the younger people the Muslim made success places where an old man cannot go but he can advise what to do because he was also once you know a young person so he can advise them what to do and how to do it and the ummah attained the success so I don't say stay away from social media but understand that your life has value Allah, your life has value. Whatever you're doing, whether social media or whatever, understand that your life has value. You know, and this value lies in the time and the way you manage this time. Therefore, do not use any social media in a thing which is not going to add value to your dunya or the akhirah. Wallahi, this is my advice to all of you. Anything that cannot benefit your dunya or benefit the akhirah. Benefit the dunya in the way it will not harm the akhirah. Stay away from it. Yeah, because I know that the vast majority of the way we spend our time, you know, is in useless things. Yeah, useless things. And every single time you spend, which is useless, you know, I mean, doing useless things, trust me, you will regret on the day of judgment. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you will never be in a place, you know, spending time, you know, a moment in that place without remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and reflecting upon Him, except it is going to be terror for you on the day of judgment. It is going to be regret for you on the day of judgment when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahi, shabab in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are not like the shabab in our time. We need to change. You know, some of the enemies, they focus on who? Shabab. Because they are the future of the generation. They are supposed to take over. We see them, we see the way they are behaving in the right way. You know, the old people will be happy that there is somebody to carry on the message in the best way. Allah, the hope is in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and foremost, and then on you guys, the younger ones. The way you behave, this is what will keep the hope in the heart of the leaders, the authority, and the people who are concerned. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ability to see this time where the shabab of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be trying to imitate the shabab in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قال ونحن شباب متقاربون. You see, we are young people closer to each other in terms of age. فأقمنا عنده 20 ليلة. So we live with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for 20 nights. They live with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for 20 nights. What brought them to him? To learn about their deen. They said we came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and lived with him for 20 nights. وكان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رحيما رفيقا. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is amongst the human beings, you know, you will never see somebody who has mercy than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And subhanallah, you know, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not like us. I don't care, you don't care. You know, I care about myself, you care about yourself. This is not the way we should live. people who are within my circle, Muslims, you know, or my neighbors in general, even if they're not Muslim. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is paying attention to everyone. What he does, where is he, what is he doing, is he okay, does he need my help, does he need something? That's why he look and pays attention to the mood of the people that he's dealing with. Go and see the way he deals with his wife. He tell Aisha one day, he says, I know when you're angry and I know when you're sad. Did she tell him, I'm angry with you, Ya Rasulullah? No, she will never tell him this. But because this is his attitude and behavior, that he focus and try to pay attention to the mood of the person that he's dealing with. Do you get the idea? That's why he said, Aisha, I know when you're angry and I know when you're sad. She said, oh, Ya Rasulullah, how do you know? Because she never told him, Ya Rasulullah, I'm angry with you today. She said, how do you know? He said, Aisha, if you are angry, if you are happy with me, you say, Wa Rabbu Muhammad. I swear by the one who created Muhammad. But if you are angry, you say, Wa Rabbu Ibrahim. I swear by the one who created Ibrahim. She laughed. She said, Ya Rasulullah, Wallahi, Ya Rasulullah, I don't forsake anything except the name, you know. The love is still there, but I just don't want to mention the name. But I love this, you know, to teach a Muslim how to care about others. And I will conclude with this statement of these two scholars, Amash and Ibrahim al-Nakhai. Both of them have deficiency on their face, one on his nose and the other one on the eyes. They met each other, and they are one of the greatest scholars in the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Big scholars. They met each other. Sheikh and Sheikh, they met. MashaAllah. So they were sitting in the house of one of them. The other one said, why can't we just go around the city? Let's take some walk. The other one said, no. Okay. The Muaddin said, I should keep quiet. Okay, after the Adhan, inshaAllah.
Okay, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, wa salatu wa salamu ala al-ma'uth, rahmatan lil alameen, nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Yes, I was saying about caring about others, you know, not doing things and becoming anani. I don't care about anyone, I care about myself. This is their business, not mine. So as a Muslim, it is your business, yeah, to make sure that your Muslim brothers and sisters are not falling into sin because of you. So these two scholars, one of them proposed that they should go out and just walk around. The other one said, no, I don't think it's a good idea. We are tested. You have this problem, I have this problem. If you are going around the city, nobody cares about you. And nobody will look at you, nobody will find it funny. You know, nobody will talk. However, if we are two of us go, we will catch the attention of the people and they will talk about us and they will get sin. They will talk against us and get sin. So the other one said, that's that business, they shouldn't talk. Why would they talk? The first person told him, no, I still believe that it's wrong for us to go because it is always better for us to stay at home. فَنَسْلَمْ وَيَسْلَمْ rather than نَسْلَمْ وَيَأْثَمُ we become, you know, protected and saved and they get the sin. Why can't both of us become any saved here? We don't get sin. We are here talking, no problem. We can just sit down and keep talking. We're enjoying the talk. Why do we need to go out in the way we provoke somebody to talk against us, you know, and they will get sin, you know, فَنَسْلَمْ although we are okay, but they will get sin. Why? As a Muslim, why do we need to put them into the situation? So this is a very good behavior that we have to also understand, you know. There are things which you might be doing, which are strange. They might provoke people to backbite you. If it is not something that Allah make it wajib upon you, it's better for you to stay away from it as somebody who is supposed to be loving the Muslim brothers and sisters, wherever they are. You shouldn't say, no, this is their problem. This is my right. This is this and that. No, yeah, it is your right. But sometimes their right could be practiced in another way, in the way they will be protected from the sin. What do you benefit if you see them going to hell? No benefit. You Allah, no benefit. When they come to Jannah, are they going to take your space? No. Why do you want to be the only one who goes to Jannah? Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good behavior. Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teach us how to have soft and gentle heart. And this is the only way to the unity of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You get it? Otherwise, in front of you, your Muslim brother will be in trouble, you will laugh. Don't they laugh nowadays? There are some people who are laughing when our brothers and sisters are in trouble in many places. There are some people who are laughing. There are some people who are happy. There are some people who are making dua for it to continue. Why? Because this concept, which the Prophet ﷺ placed the Ummah on, is neglected by us. You are right, yes, but it doesn't mean you have to have hatred against others who are wrong. You hate what they're doing, you hate their behavior, that's fine. But as a Muslim, you love them and you want to guide them. You do everything possible to make sure that they join that thing which you believe to be correct. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam succeeded. And only if we do the same thing, we will succeed. If not, we will remain in the way we are. Yeah. A lot of divisions among us. We are not together. The heart is not together. Yeah. Except in few instances. May Allah grant us good. Yeah, what is the first question? The one who is afflicted by sihr. There's a question which says, a sister is afflicted by the sihr. Can we just blend tamar to give her in the morning the ajwa? Yes, that's good. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said whoever eats 7 tamar from the ajwa in the morning, sihr will not affect him. Bidillahi ta'ala, even if the sihr happens, inshallah, eating that one, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will help in removing the sihr, inshallah. And also there is a question about the best way to deal with a dead person. Yeah, we should know that it is not part of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to come and read Quran in food, you know, and give it to others. He makes dua for them, you know, he gives charity on their behalf. This is the best way to benefit the dead person. Give charity, make dua.
especially if you can make a waqf for him or her, something that will remain for them, you know, until they meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. May Allah grant us good. That's why when it comes to benefiting a dead person, I really choose for us to stay away from the controversy of the scholars. This one say right, this one say wrong. The sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on what to be done, which 100% goes to the mayyit and benefit him, is very clear. Why do I need to risk my effort? Yeah, although I know some people say right, some people say wrong, you know, why do I need to go for this? Just why can't I just restrict myself to that which everyone accepts? Is it there been mentioned by the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Yes, in a very, very, very clear way. So we have to pity the dead person. You know, he's the always victim. Yeah, I don't agree with him, he doesn't agree with me. But both of us are trying to benefit this person. At the end of the day, we do things which are not going to reach him. We lost them and they don't reach him also. Why? Why can't you just restrict yourself to that which you are sure 100% it will go to the dead person? Next question. Okay, this question is a bit longer. Maybe we might delay it until they're asking about the maqsad of the Sharia in preserving the human dignity and honor. I guess it will not be good if I talk about it right now. And the Imam also is already here. So I meet you inshallah next week. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you good and tawfiq and be with you wherever you are. إنه بكل جميل كفيل سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته